Hi, I'm Marlo Higgins, and I spent nearly four decades as an entrepreneur building systems that maximize time and results. I'm a business coach that helps entrepreneurs get crystal clear on what it takes to make their vision a reality. I'm obsessed with clarity because business operations that are rooted in clarity are exponentially more likely to succeed. So join me as I explore the proven habits and strategies that have helped myself and hundreds of other entrepreneurs create a vision, execute a plan, and refine a legacy of success. This is 22 Motivational Minutes with Marlo. Hey, welcome back to 22 Motivational Minutes with Marlo. This is the podcast that's intended to help you build systems so you can stay on track all year long, remove distractions, overwhelm, pivoting. We have conversations of clarity and action. We just talk about all the things that entrepreneurs need to know. That's why we've got Robin Springer. She's a money magician and creatively analytical, and we're going to unpack that. You love to collaborate. You're an energetic finance leader, and I want to talk to, you know, to the audience about that as well. So, Robin, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Marlo. I'm super excited to be here.
What's a money magician?
You know, it is somebody who brings to light the issues around money. Actually, Aleister Crowley was an 18th century British occultist, and I learned about him in an astrology class. And he defined magic as focusing on the structure and the art. And so money magic is when I help clients create the financial structure that they need to understand and see their business. But it's the art of it is tailoring it to their needs. And once they can see the possibilities financially for their business, they're like, oh, that's magic.
Okay. And you make it sound fun because money is a big conversation. And I mean, let's be honest, a lot of people are afraid of the conversation. They, you know, they're afraid of money running the numbers in their business, being aware of what that is, just because there's so much scarcity, so much unknown. What has allowed you, Robin, to like really stick your teeth into this topic and love what you do and help people bring that money alive?
I think, you know, going through my own journeys with money on a personal financial level, it's like the cobbler's children have no shoes. I've had my own personal journey with money, but I spent my career over 35 years in corporate finance and accounting roles. And what I've discovered is I've built this wealth of knowledge in the corporate environment that scales to, I used this, did the same things in a tech startup that I did running a billion-dollar division with eight business units at Pearson Education. And so that scalability and sharing what I know with others, it is fun for me to create, do what's not being done for businesses and see the results that that not only drives for them financially, but how it impacts them personally and how it helps change their relationship with money. They get over that fear. That's the important thing.
Okay. So creatively analytical. I mean, I think right there, we're talking magic and creativity. You have this really awesome subset feel to money. Where's that coming from?
You know, it's during COVID, I took a 6-month astrology class. And so people are going to be like, wait, you do finance and astrology? I do. And I have, my son is in Scorpio, which is very an analytical, go deep sign. And my moon is in Taurus, which is all about abundance. And it's a very good placement for finance and money. And it's very creative. And I spent my whole life telling myself I wasn't creative because I couldn't do art. I'm not a singer. I'm not a musician. I love all those things, but I don't do them. And then when I had my astrology chart read, Scorpio is the opposite sign of Taurus. So they oppose each other. So I had this notion that it had to be an either or, and it's an and. And so saying, as I explored that, I was like, I find creative solutions to business problems. I like to go do what's not being done and figure out how to do that. So it's okay to own and claim being creative and analytical.
Okay.
So give us one of your first money stories, like as a kid. I mean, were you the saver or the spender? Because I think a lot of it goes back to that too. I mean, and people are either kind of one or the other, don't you find?
Yes, yes. Definitely a spender. I grew up with a lot of guilt and shame around money. And it was always, don't tell your father. I grew up with, don't tell your father. And so, you know, if the mail came, put it in the cupboard so your father doesn't see it. And so, and then when I started working in high school, I had to save half my paycheck. And it was never explained to me why. That felt punitive. And so learning to overcome those things, I mean, if you can imagine growing up with, don't tell your father, and then you're going to get married and you're in a relationship with a man, and that's what you know, that was not easy to overcome that.
Yeah, that's a deep-seated. So fear, was it driven for fear? I mean, like, so don't tell your father. I mean, go deeper into that, because I think you're unpacking that and people are going, okay, I get it. So your approach now today, is it a fear hiding money thing? Go there now. Like, where are you today having that as the root of where you came from?
Yeah, what I have come to realize through the work that I've done with some clients, our money just wants it wants to be in a loving relationship with us. It wants to love us. It wants to take care of us. It wants us to love it. Mm. And so if I approach my money from a place of love and not fear, you know, that's a very different shift. And so thank you. Every time I log into my bank accounts online to see what is in there.
Yeah.
Thank you for what I have, you know, expressing that gratitude instead of hiding a story I don't want to share with somebody else. Here I'm out sharing my story on your podcast. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about money. When we bring light to those fears that are in the dark, then we can work through them. We give voice to them. Then we can take a breath and move on.
Mm. I mean, so powerful. And, you know, so for me, I grew up in a single parent household. Mom was in real estate. So it was commission. Nothing was secure. So right. I get it. I am the biggest saver. My husband is the biggest spender. The yin yang is very powerful, but I mean, it works for us. But for me, I'm like, and even our two sons, we've got a spender and a saver. And it's just really interesting because how we're wired and how we approach it. Now, for me, okay, growing up in that environment, money is comfort. Right. So to me, like growing up, like when we had money, that means we were comfortable. You could have groceries, you could have gas, you know, that was like a kind of a comfort thing. And so that was the look that I had on money. And I'm grateful that it wasn't a scarcity mode. I just remember when a commission check would come in, mom would go, okay, let's go to dinner, order anything you want. Right.
Right. So
it was this beautiful yin yang around finance and money that was instilled that it's important. But it's not everything.
Right.
Okay. So the reason I connected it to a feeling, do you have a feeling around money outside of like a specific, like what does money mean for you specifically?
Oh, that's a really great question. You know, money for me brings joy and fun. I love to go to live music. I love to take trips. I love to do things with my kids. And have the money to help if they need it, you know. So it does, there's a lot of joy and fun around money for me.
I mean, that's powerful. And when I met you, you had just returned from a trip to Egypt, if I'm correct.
Yes.
How do you plan for a trip to Egypt? I mean, that's a costly endeavor. Is that something where you're really forecasting in advance? Or is that just kind of like, hey, we've got the money in the bank, let's go. What's your approach?
I actually went twice in the last year for 3 weeks. And so it was one of those opportunities that came up and I just said yes, because it was there and I was so called to go. And it was an investment, honestly, in my growth on all levels of, you know, spiritual, emotional, mental, all levels. And so I didn't have all that money in the bank, but I just said yes, and was fortunate enough to, you know, pay for it as I went. And so I made it work because it was the right thing to do. And so then there were other things I didn't do because I wanted to have that experience.
Okay. So just the way you've described that, Robin, you have like such a great stewardship around it, because you're betting on yourself and saying, hey, I'm going to take this trip. The opportunity is there. We can always make more money. We can't always make time or get experiences back. And I think there too is something when it comes to working in the finance area and working with businesses. You know, a lot of times we're as entrepreneurs, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but we're always given opportunity to spend money on more things to enhance the business in other ways. What are you guiding your businesses that you work with around those types of things? Is it like a really long game planning session, or is it like, hey, that's an opportunity, go ahead, do it?
Yeah, I think it's a both and. It depends on where they're at. Lots of times I describe what I do. Your accountant gives you the rearview mirror. They're going to tell you where you've been. The work that I do with clients around strategic finance is about setting the course for where we want to go. We're going to be looking through the windshield. We're going to program the GPS, and then we're going to address hurdles and detours that we hit along that way. Some people may not be ready for long-range planning because they don't know what's going to happen next month. So a lot of times what I try to get to first is a cash flow forecast for the next 12 months. So you can see, am I going to have enough money for payroll? Am I going to have enough money to cover my basic expenses? And then we can start talking about, and even am I making any money at all? And once we have that foundation, we can talk about what do we do short-term improvement, and then what are long-term goals that you have?
Oh my God, that just feels so refreshing and insightful. Okay, so is there a difference between men investors and women investors?
So I want to be careful. I'm not an investment advisor, so I don't tell people how to invest their money. And so I don't know that I've had that much experience between how men run their businesses versus how women run their businesses.
Vibe that you like? Like, what your superpower in the financial space? Who is that person that you're running with right now?
I do think it is somebody who's in tune with the energetics of themselves. Mm. And so they're motivated and passionate about their business because it's the right thing to do. And they need help with money. Money is not the motivation for why they're doing their business. Money is the outcome of them following their passion.
Do you have a client case study that you can share and the power that it had?
Oh, 100%. I do. So there was a woman that I worked with who, and I'll give her a shout out, Erica Christensen with Tura Lurico. Check her out. She's phenomenal work. And she started her business during COVID, making candles, concrete candle holders. And I found her at a market, bought a candle, and then I was leading a group event and wanted candles. So I reached out to her, ended up being a business relationship. She was tracking her money through her bank account. And if you think about what goes into making a candle, there's the wax, there's the wicks, there's the oil. She was doing all the math of the conversion of grams to ounces, yada, yada, yada. But she didn't know how to pull it together to see if she was making any money. So the first thing I did for her was create a little spreadsheet that allowed her to calculate the gross margin on each candle and each product. She had other products, factoring in the raw materials and a factor for her time. And then she could enter the price per unit to see the margin. And, you know, first time she did it, she wanted to pay herself $50 an hour for making a candle. So that's beautiful, but your candles will be too expensive. And I get that you want to make a lot of money in the business, but for this exercise, just price it as what you would pay somebody to do that work. Mm. And then the second thing I did with her was a month by month projection for the year of her income streams and her purchases. And 3 months later, what I hear her talking about is, I'm going to stop doing that because my margins aren't good, but I'm going to do more of this because my margins are better. Mm. And I realize my business is cyclical. I'm going to have more business in the spring because of markets, fall and winter because of the holidays. So I'm going to take the summer and enjoy it with my sons and let the creativity flow of what I want to do next. And in 3 months, we changed her money story because she could see it. And that was in early 2023. She's maintained her models. I build Excel. Excel is my love language, and I build it in a way that's easy for others to maintain. And she's now renting some space. I love how she pivots because she trusts herself. And now I helped her have a framework to understand her numbers to succeed in her business.
Well, you just made a very powerful businesswoman. I mean, that right there took somebody into an unknown to extreme clarity. And we talk about that because businesses that are rooted in clarity are exponentially more successful. And so what you did was give her the clarity necessary to pull it all together, because entrepreneurs oftentimes, and it depends upon what you're in. I mean, we talk about entrepreneurs that run Bitcoin companies or entrepreneurs that maybe make candles. So the extreme is big, but you need to bring it granular into that individual and then show them like what's possible and then how to make the moves. Because then when you have that clarity, now you got the confidence. Now, I mean, where she's at today, she's running a confident business. Who knows her numbers? And she can crush it. She can grow it. So I think there's a lot to be said in that process. So I'm curious, do people come in to say, like, Robin, I want to make X amount of money. Like, how do I do that? Or, I mean, like, because that's kind of working backwards, but talk to us about that process.
Yeah, I have a current client. She wants to run $1 million business. Wonderful. Let's go get it. But first, we have to start where you are and understand the current state. And take it one step at a time. You can't get to a million until you get to, you know, 10,000 and then 100,000. And what do we learn along that journey about the offerings and how to price them and about you? And, you know, honestly, the harder part of the conversation, although I don't do personal financial consulting as its own service, but as a business owner, how you manage your personal money will be how you manage your business money. To think that they're going to be different, you're going to be different in those two arenas is insanity. Mm-hmm. So we have to have a conversation around your fears and your emotions and how do you work with money today? And what do we need to do to get you to build the business to be $1 million business, but to build your confidence and ability to manage $1 million worth of money.
Right. I mean, and that's a big leap. And then just the time invested, you know, so there's a time investment in that. So yeah, we can say that it's a set number and this is what we're championing for, but there's a huge process. There's so much that goes into unpacking that.
Yes.
So that's a big conversation. Okay. So you've made a recent leap into being an entrepreneur, like putting a stake in the ground, building your legacy, going all in that space with your knowledge. What are you finding is the biggest challenge for you in that process of saying, hey, I'm going to go from the corporate space over to being my own boss?
Yeah, for me, it's the creation of a sales funnel and selling. I can deliver all day long, but I've never had to sell a service, let alone sell myself other than in a job interview. So that's a hurdle. And then I also, the second thing that is challenging is if people haven't ever had a taste of what strategic financial support is like, that forward view, that strategic thinking, I'm the special sauce that people don't even know they need, but convincing them of that and giving them the opportunity to try it, to taste something new and getting over that fear of that unknown, you know, taste or special sauce. That's kind of my second hurdle at this particular juncture.
Yeah. And that's fair. I mean, client acquisition, I think, is a big part. So in order to have the client acquisition, it's like, what's the message that really brings in your wheelhouse? And then you say, you know, you like people who are, I'm going to say it's not astrologically connected, but give me some, like, who are your people again, Robin? Like, you bring people who are,
they're energetic.
Energetic.
They're passionate about what they do. You know, quite honestly, I'm at a phase that a lot of people are thinking in their lives are thinking about retirement. And I'm like, no, I want to go share my wisdom and my knowledge in a way that helps other people share their wisdom and knowledge. And so those are my people, those that are passionate about what they're doing. They've been in business for a while, that they know that they've got a viable product. And even those that have relied on that bookkeeper or that CPA, but aren't doing that forward-looking view, that, you know, mapping the course through the GPS, they're the ones that need me too.
Yeah, planning and strategy is everything. You know, you got to set the vision. And we too, in what we do here within our brand, is you have to set the vision, you know, and then once the vision is set, you understand what that looks like and why you're even setting that type of vision. Now mm-hmm. you can do the easy part. You can build up the building blocks to make that your reality. And it's kind of the same thing in what you're saying. It's like, but what's that vision? And then what's going to support that vision? That's everything.
Yes.
Okay. So we like to get to know, we're kind of coming into the close a little bit, but what's your proudest achievement, would you say, Robin?
Oh, my children. I know as a mom, that sounds silly, but they are really good humans. And I couldn't be more proud of the change and the impact that they will have in the world. From a career perspective, it's been helping those, you know, I had a chance. I was director of finance for a tech startup and strategic marketing company, and I loved every minute of that. I pulled from so many tools in my toolbox, and I was sad when the businesses got sold. I liked that entrepreneur world because I was able to help them see the vision of financially for their business. So taking that and helping others, you know, Erica changing her money story, that's a proud achievement for me.
No, that's huge. I mean, and those are the things that when we look back, those are the stories, those are the legacies that we really want to leave behind. The people, you know, what do they really think of us? What did I really bring to the table that really made the biggest impact? It impacts everything. And I think the generation now that is coming about, they're way more about impact than ever before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not survival in mode anymore. It's just, where can I really make an impact? And so a lot of the companies that are being built, a lot of the forecasting and the future planning is around that impact piece. And that's, it just shows in every realm of our world today. Okay. Coming into a close, last words of advice, because like we always love those nuggets. So walking in Robin's shoes, somebody's listening to this episode. What's the message you want to leave for them?
You can change your money story. You can get over the fear of money. You're sent here to be abundant and prosper. Don't let the fear get in the way.
Oh my God, that's just brilliant. The universe wants to see you win, right? Yes, it just does. Yes. It wants to work for you, not against you. But once you understand, I mean, that's the golden ticket. So Robin, what a delight. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Did you enjoy this topic as much as I did? If you're looking for more insights like these or have a question you'd like to hear about on future episodes, text me at 319-250-2682 or click the link in the show notes. Remember, the road to success is better with friends. Be sure to share this episode to reach your goals together. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, keep your path clear and your energy high.